Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, welcome back, folks. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting right now with my new friend and our special guest, Doug Stiles. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Doug received his bachelor's degree in accounting and an MBA from Lehigh University. That's Lehigh Iacocca's old university, I believe. And he started his career with Pricewaterhouse. Then he joined Kirchen & Company in 1970. Doug is currently, and that's the company he's still with, and he's currently the head of the tax department at Kirchen & Company, which is one of the largest CPA firms in central New Jersey. Doug is a frequent lecturer for several New Jersey organizations. He serves as an instructor for various courses offered by the New Jersey Society of CPAs, as well as the American Institute for CPAs. He often appears on local television, including CNN, local and national television, I should say, including CNN, CNBC, and Fox, PBS, et cetera, et cetera. He's got frequently quoted in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and a lot of other publications. He's also a member of the tax division of the executive committee of the American Institute for CPAs. Doug Stiles, I'm out of breath. Welcome to the show.
I think I'll quit while I'm ahead.
Yeah, and I didn't even read the one your mother sent me. That was a real doozy.
Right. Well, listen, I have an uphill battle because when people hear they're going to hear from a CPA from New Jersey, somehow that doesn't excite them, Jim.
They think you're going to nod right off, aren't they? Well, I'll tell you what, folks, don't think that about Doug, because I visited with Doug several times, and he's a barrel of laughs. We're going to have some fun. We're going to try to figure out how to make all this accounting, bookkeeping stuff interesting and fun, and that's our mission, Doug. Should you agree to accept it? You've already accepted it.
I'm stuck.
Doug, I know that you work with, and by the way, folks, let me give you our phone number in case you have a question for Doug or for me. 888-822-TALK, 1-888-822-8255. And Doug, I know that you do a lot of business with small business.
Yes.
And you speak to them in conferences and different venues, and you have quite a few customers who are clients who are small business owners. When you see small business owners, when you talk to them and they come to see you, what are some of the first things you should tell them?
Well, what I try to do actually is listen to find out what they know, and then what we try to do is just step by step get them directed into having things like a business plan and understanding that they're going to need some help from various professionals. And then, of course, as soon as we can, we get into looking at cash flow planning and kind of as a corollary of that, some intelligent tax planning to keep the tax bite to a minimum.
Mm-hmm. Which is having a tax problem and doing tax planning is a high-class problem, isn't it?
Well, except that I can say almost across the board, Jim, everybody in this country is like paranoid about paying taxes and reducing their taxes. And I say all the time and get a rise out of even some of my colleagues by saying, I don't mind paying taxes at all because that means I've had a good year.
That's right.
And that doesn't mean I just run down to Washington and throw money at them. But at the end of 1998, I hope I owe a barrel of taxes is
right.
All I'll tell you.
Exactly. Let's go back to your comment about business planning.
Yeah.
How often, when a new client comes to you, how often are they prepared with a business plan?
I'd say, written, very rarely. In their heads, I'd say about half the time.
Huh.
And I think the reason we put that at the top of the agenda for today, Jim, is that it's amazing to me and other practitioners that I network with that people come in, they have an idea, but that's it. They haven't thought it through. And they've gone to the effort to sometimes go to a lawyer even before they come with us, and sometimes spend some money on setting up a corporation, and they haven't a clue what they're going to do. I talked to a client just about 2 weeks ago, and he was going to run down to the Caribbean and buy a big boat and go around and service all the sailboats there by delivering ice and fresh food and take away their sewage and garbage. And I said, great, what are you going to do with the sewage and garbage? He hadn't thought about that.
Amazing.
Amazing but true.
Now, see, I can see people having a business plan in their head And even though they haven't written it down, which as you and I both know they need to do, I can see that, but I can't see, if you're going to have it in your head, it's got to go full circle. You've got to go from one end to the other, don't you?
Well, yeah, and of course I'll go another step with you, is today, at least in our part of the country, it is very, very difficult to start a small business. Labor is scarce. Everybody's looking for more money in big-time jobs. Even though the banks jump up and down and say they have money to loan, there's not a bank I know of that will loan money to a small business idea unless you have some solid collateral.
Bankers don't lend on dreams. They lend on collateral.
They used to. I used to spend a lot of time in bank loan officers' offices talking about dreams and ideas, and they say, gee, that sounds great. We're interested. Now they don't even listen. They say, what do you have for collateral?
That's right. I need a serial number.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that you and I've talked about is the fact that people, when they think of a business plan, a lot of times they think of this really long document. It doesn't have to be a big document, does it?
When I say a business plan, more times than not, it's a sheet of yellow paper that has about four or five bullets on it.
At least that's where it starts.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And then I tell you again, I always try to look at the other side. I have people that come in with computers today. They print out 30 pages of dribble for me.
Mm-hmm.
I say, wait a minute, I'm not going to sit and read that. Tell me what you have in mind.
Yeah.
And that's typically, frankly, we're again experiencing in our part of the country, companies like AT&T with their massive cutbacks, is these guys inside of AT&T to decide what color to paint a door. They had to put out a 30-page spec on it.
Right.
And they think that the same thing applies to a small business, and of course it doesn't.
Exactly. 888-822-TALK. That's the phone number, 888-1-822-8255. One of the things that I've seen, Doug, people bring me business plans that they want me to help them get a loan, help them put a package together with a loan. They bring me some information. Or I'm also on a committee that approves new tenants into an entrepreneurial center.
Right.
And I sometimes see some pretty fancy business plans, but it's amazing to me how many of them have virtually no, little if any, projections, financial projections.
Right.
And, I tell them, I say, look, you gotta have those. That's one of the things that you got to have down in writing is what you think you're going to do and how you're going to pay back this loan you're trying to get. Stand by, Doug. We got to take a break. It's 20 after the hour, folks. We're going to be right back with Doug Stives. He's an MBA, a CPA, and we're talking about financing, financial issues, accounting, bookkeeping, business plans for your small business. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. Aristotle said that, Doug.
Wow.
A long, long time ago. It's a great quote, isn't it?
Yeah.
Folks, we're visiting with my friend Doug Stives. He's our special guest this hour. Doug is an MBA, a CPA. He's with the firm Kirchen and Company. And Doug, tell our audience where you are, where you're located, and a little bit about your company.
We are in not so sunny this morning, Red Bank, New Jersey, which is on the east coast of our little state, about halfway down. We're about halfway between New York and Philadelphia, and some people have trouble believing this, but it's a beautiful area. I'm looking out the window at trees, and we're about a half a mile in from the water, so other than the fact we have too many people in our state, it really is a great spot.
It's a beautiful state. It really is. There's a lot of beautiful parts of New Jersey, and you're the comment about you're from New Jersey and someone says which exit, that's really not true, is it?
Oh, it is true.
It is. I'm trying to be nice here. I'm trying to be charming here, Doug.
That's how we keep track of where people live.
Work with me a little bit here, Doug.
Okay.
Okay, folks, we're talking. Doug and I were talking before the last break about business planning, and Doug, one of the things that I said as toward the end there was about financial projections. If you're going to get a loan, if you're going to know where you're going, if you're going to find an investor or anything to do with being successful in the future of your business, you've got to have projections. You've got to be able to project when your money's going to come in and how that's going to be affected with your revenue versus your expenses, what kind of profits you're going to project, but especially cash flow has to be projected. And you and I both know, and we've said that's got to be part of a business plan. A lot of people have never done, many people have never seen a projection who are starting a small business or any business, let alone know how to do one. And if they go to their CPA, my experience is they're going to have difficulty getting that out of a CPA. What do you think?
Well, in some cases, one of the problems with our profession is that way back when we're in school, which was 30-some years ago for me, and it hasn't changed a whole lot, we're really taught to be historians. The pinnacle of our profession, at least at the beginning level, is in the audit area. And auditing by nature is looking backwards, you're not looking forward. And the area of what we call forecasts and projections kind of comes along once you're out in the field.
Yeah. One of the things that I've learned, that I've known for a long time, is that CPAs like for things to balance. They like for things to come out even.
Yeah.
And if they don't, they get really upset about that. And all projections, and folks, you can write this on a rock, all financial projections are wrong.
I've never seen one that was right yet, Jim.
They're all wrong. They never come out the way a CPA would want to see them. And the reason I'm saying what I am right now, Doug, is not to malign or to disparage CPAs, because you've got to have them, folks. You need a CPA in your business associated in some form or fashion with your business. The reason I'm pointing this out is I don't want you to go to your CPA expecting them to help you with your projections and then wind up being frustrated and disappointed.
Well, I think the advice we can give folks is just to select not only your CPA but all your professionals carefully. And a guy can, be the greatest CPA, the most successful CPA in your community, but not work regularly with small businesses. And when interviewing or when talking to other people to get recommendations, you want to go right to the punch. How many small businesses do you represent? If you audit General Motors, you're not going to be much good to a small business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what typically happens is, let's say, CPAs are conservative, which I think most people appreciate,
right,
but they just are not used to sitting there saying, well, this is what's going to happen 5 years from now if you do all these things. And that's what a projection or a forecast is.
Right. All right, folks, let me give you the phone number here if you'd like to talk to Doug or me. 888-822-TALK, 1-888-822-8255. Doug, where would a small business owner, small business dreamer go to get these financial projections? How would they get that done? One of the things that I do in a small business, as a small business consultant, when I'm not on the radio, is I help people with these kinds of projections. Where are some other places they can go?
Well, one of the problems is it's an unregulated industry. CPAs, as I'm sure most people realize, have to be licensed by their state, and we all have to pass a uniform CPA exam. But I think the point that Jim is alluding to is that doesn't necessarily qualify you to do projections. But the concern I have is there are people out there that call themselves business advisors, or in some cases they use financial planning or whatever, and they're out there selling the fact that they can teach you how to make money in your business. And in most cases, they have some experience, but you really need to sift them out a little bit, Jim.
Well, I think your fundamental advice is choose your advisors well. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. We're going to be right back with our special guest and our new friend, Doug Stives. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and our special guest is our new friend, Doug Stives. Doug is an MBA and a CPA with Kirchen & Company out of Red Bank, New Jersey, the beautiful state of New Jersey. And, Doug, would you like to give your phone number out in case anyone would be interested in talking to your company about engaging them?
Sure. Let me just say, to qualify that, we are a one-office small firm with a total of 26 people, just so people won't think we're all over the country. But we have no problem traveling or talking to people by email or whatever they want to do. So our regular telephone number is area code 732-747-0500. I have voicemail, and that's on extension 122. And also the fax number is, again, 732-747-7700. That's the fax number at Kirchen & Company in Red Bank, New Jersey.
And, Doug, you and I, neither you or I are suggesting that people not support their local CPAs at all, but
right.
We both know that there are certain applications, there are certain scenarios where someone will want a CPA firm from out of town, maybe as a consultant, on a consulting basis,
well,
maybe for a second opinion or something like that.
We do that more than people might think, and
yeah.
Again, it doesn't necessarily mean flying across the country. We sometimes will do it just through electronic means. Exactly. Local CPA is giving advice and doing tax returns, but let's bring in the specialist. Let's bring in another opinion. And
right.
I frequently will talk to the local CPA and see what he knows or what they've been doing.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted you to give your number out. Let's get back to choosing your professionals wisely. Doug, talk to us about how you would interview a CPA for if you were a small business owner or if you were advising small business owner about how to interview a CPA firm. Tell us about that.
Okay. Well, even the step before that would be, where you're getting the name of the CPA. I mean, some people would go to the telephone directory and tell people not to do that, but I hope what you do is talk to your colleagues and other people in similar or preferably the same industry and, you know, who are they using and how long have they been using them? And if it's their brother-in-law, be careful because maybe they got in there just because of the relation. Then you need to contact, of course, the office. And what I always say to people is, you know, start right out. Are you getting voicemail that goes in circles or are you getting a receptionist
right.
who sounds interested and will put you right through to the person? Are you, you know, being pushed down to somebody at the fourth rank or do you get right through to one of the owners or the partners?
One of the things, Doug, that we call that in sales, what you just described in sales, we call that qualifying the prospect.
Yep. And I mean, I can't tell you the number of times I've done that myself is, you know, called an attorney who's allegedly a big estate expert or something. And it takes me 3 days to even get through to him, and that's the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
He may be the best in the state, but he's not going to do anything for me.
Well, one thing, and that's an excellent point, Doug, because one thing we know in small business is that there are times when you just need a quick answer.
Right.
And if the guy's visiting, if he's got a client in there or something, you're not expecting to interrupt them,
nope.
But you would at least, a lot of times that answer is something that you're upset about. You're concerned about it. You're maybe even a little bit frightened. You're having a problem, and you just like to have a somebody that's knowledgeable on the other end of the line, and it's awfully comforting to at least talk to a real human being.
Yeah. Well, let me say this, too, is from the other side, from the practitioner. If I go to my office today, and, there's a voicemail in there from somebody who introduces themselves and says, I was referred in by John Smith, and at your convenience, I'd appreciate a call back. Well, you know, there's somebody who's being courteous and I want to do business with as
right.
a practitioner. Somebody calls up my secretary four times and starts screaming about you. Doesn't Doug return calls? He doesn't ever get a return call. I mean, that's the end of him before he starts.
Right.
And I think some people forget that. They think that we're sitting there, we are hungry for business, but we're not desperate for business.
Right. All right. Now, Doug, we pre-qualified the CPA firm. We talked to some people. And we've gotten this recommendation, and we called, and we were happy with the way we were treated when we called in, and we made an appointment. Now we're sitting in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Do we go to their office, or do we invite them to come to our office?
Generally, with small businesses, we like to do both. What I suggest to people is once you come into my office, we have a real nice office, and I'm proud of it, and like to show people that we're not just working off a kitchen table somewhere.
Right.
But then, you know, usually in that first meeting, if things are going well, I'll say, well, you know, maybe next week I'll drive by and stop in your office and we'll have a cup of coffee or whatever.
Right.
What I've learned not to do, again, this is, you know, secrets from within, is a lot of people say, well, I'd like you to come by my business. Many times it's frankly a waste of time. I've got to get in my car and ride there
right.
and sit in their waiting room. So the first meeting usually is at our office with a follow-up at the client's place of business.
If you're going to donate an hour of your time or 30 minutes of your time to be interviewed, then you've got a right to ask for it to be at your office. And I'll tell you another reason why I think it's a good idea to have them come to go to the CPA's office for that first interview is more than likely the person that has been recommended to that business owner is a senior partner, someone pretty far up the ladder, and that may not be who this small business needs to deal with.
Right.
And it gives you the opportunity, Doug, to go ahead and meet them,
yep.
to talk to them, to welcome them to the firm, that sort of thing, and then to say, now, look, there's a person here who works with us. She's an associate or he's an associate, and this person really spends a lot of time with small business. I will look over your account, but you'll be spending a lot of your time with John here, and I want you to meet him. I've asked him to sit in our meeting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, except the only question I'll throw up there is, you know, whoever is talking to you, a small business person goes into an accountant's office or other professional's office, are you talking to a salesman or are you talking to the guy that's going to do your work?
Good point. All right, folks, it's 39 after the hour. We're going to talk about this issue of interviewing a CPA a little bit more when we come back. And also, I've got an email here from someone who's having some cash flow problems, and I'm going to ask Doug to help me solve this problem for Alan, who's in Illinois. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, folks. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend and our special guest, Doug Stives, who's an MBA and a CPA. He practices as a certified public accountant with the firm of Kirchin & Company out of Red Bank, New Jersey. And one of the things I'm excited about, folks, is Doug has agreed to return on a fairly regular basis to talk about these kinds of issues. And one of the things that my audience asked for back about 2 months ago, I asked my audience to tell me what they wanted more of. What are some of the topics they wanted more of? And what you and I are talking about is one of the things that they asked for. And that's the reason I've got you on. And Doug has agreed to join the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, and that means that he'll be a fairly regular guest on the show to talk about these issues. And Doug, I really want to thank you for that.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Doug, and let me give our number out again, 1-888-822-TALK. This is the phone number if you'd like to ask Doug a question, 1-888-822-8255. Doug, before we get into this email, I want to ask you one more thing. We're in that office now. We're still interviewing that CPA. What are some of the first things that we should ask?
Don't ask how much it's going to cost, because my answer to that is if our services are what you want, don't worry about what it's going to cost.
Right.
You don't ask a doctor what it's going to cost. But now to answer your question, is who's going to do the work, A, and two, or B, is what experience do you and that person have?
In your industry, in that industry, or in your line of work?
Yeah, I'll give you a quick parallel. When I go to buy a car and a salesman is working me over, I say, oh, by the way, when I have trouble with this car, who's going to work on it? I want to go back and meet your service manager and see what the shop looks like.
Right.
And keep that in mind when you go to professionals' office. As we said before we went to break, is if the salesman's not the same guy that's going to do the work, you got to dig down a little bit.
Right. But all at the same time, though, and I'm going to go back to my comment I made a minute ago, don't be upset if they introduce you to an associate and say something like, now, if I'm not here, you can ask for John.
Oh, that's part of the secret of my firm. As I'm talking to you right now, calls are coming in that are being diverted to other, frankly, qualified, in many cases more qualified than me.
Right.
People are getting answers and getting service.
Okay. And Doug, in the visits as we ahead, I want to continue to flesh out this topic of how to interview and what are some questions to ask of a CPA firm when you're interviewing them. But right now, what I'd like to do, I'd like to change over a little bit, and I'd like to read this email and get you to help me out a little bit here. This is from Alan in Illinois. He says, "Dear Jim, my wholesale business has had record sales for the past several months. Some of the new industry moving in has really boosted our economy. I get monthly financial statements that say we're profitable. It's not a big profit, but it is a profit. And yet, I'm out of cash all the time. If things are so great, why am I always out of cash? Why is success so frustrating?" And then he winds up by saying, "By the way, I like the show and the website." Doug, talk to Alan.
Okay. What everything he said there in his email says, yes, he is a growing, successful, profitable business. And unfortunately, that takes working capital. And I will tell you categorically, the biggest reason for failure of many small businesses and, frankly, some giant businesses is they just simply were undercapitalized. And my business, or most of the businesses represented here this morning, can't run out and do a public offering at the drop of a hat like a big company can. And as you grow, the wholesaling business that Alan has, we're talking about he's got to carry inventory, he's got to go out and hire some people to move that inventory and service his clients, customers. He's carrying accounts receivable, and I hate to say it to Alan, but the bigger he gets, the worse it's going to get, because if your customers perceive you as being a fat cat, they won't pay you very quickly.
Yep.
And we've gone through it literally hundreds of times. And the answer, of course, is he doesn't want to give away his business, and he talks to so-called venture capitalists, and that's exactly what they want him to do, is to say, yep, we'll come in, but we want 51% of your company.
Right.
One of the other answers is he might, as strange as this sounds, have to slow his growth. The illustration I always give there is, some people remember People Express Airlines was based over here in New Jersey. It was a success story beyond belief. They were flying little 737s with no tickets. They were ahead of Southwest on that curve, but then they got big deal. They started flying to Hawaii and across the ocean, and the big companies just squashed them, and they ran out of cash.
And they're out of business.
Oh, 20 years. Well, about 15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing, Doug, talk to us about AR days and AP days. I mean, that to me, where Doug has got plenty of cash. His business has plenty of cash. It's just not in his account. It's in somebody else's account.
Well, you say AR and AP with your accounts receivable. I tell you, as booming as the economy is today, I'm finding people are not anxious to pay their bills. The few large businesses that we do some work for, some that I go out and do some lecturing and consulting for, they just routinely pay you 90 or 120 days out. If you don't like it, you don't get hired back.
It's the golden rule, isn't it?
Unfortunately.
He who has the gold makes the rules.
I think it stinks, but it's the way it is.
Yep.
And then the other side is, you fiddle with your accounts payable, and once again, as a small business, your creditors are not paying you, and you've got people that you owe money to that'll shut you off because you're not Lucent Technologies. You're
yep.
John Smith.
Absolutely. And you made a good point there about these big companies. One of the things that Alan might have done, he may be doing a lot of business with these big companies without asking them when they're going to pay.
You got it.
And you got to check on that, folks. All right, folks, it's 50 after the hour. Our guest is Doug Stives, and we're talking about the financial aspect of your business. We're going to be right back. Please stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. We're visiting with our new friend and our special guest, Doug Stives. Doug is an MBA and a CPA with Kirchen & Company. He makes his living as a certified public accountant. He does a lot of public speaking, and he's often interviewed in the national press about issues regarding accounting and the financial issues. He's an expert in small business accounting, and I'm very happy to say that Doug has agreed to be a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, which means that he'll be back on a regular basis, and you guys will get to see him, we'll get to hear him talking about things that are important to you on a regular basis. And Doug, once again, I want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
Doug, let's finish up with Alan. We were talking about Alan's email, and you know, one of the things that happens, just literally to put it specifically, folks, if you have to pay your vendors in 30 days or less, and your customers are taking 45 days to pay you, you're out of money for at least 15 days. Would that be a safe? That's oversimplifying it, but doesn't that kind of cut to the heart of it, Doug?
Oh, those are real optimistic numbers. I mean, you're right on, but 45-day cycle is not realistic today.
You're saying that it's longer than that.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times, and the thing is, and here's the thing that you got to realize, folks, if a lot of times these companies, especially the larger companies, Alan, that you seem to be doing business with, a lot of these companies will tell you that, won't they? They'll say, look, you're not going to get your money for 60 days.
Or longer.
Yeah. So what you've got to do is you've got to say, this is when the negotiation starts. You say, okay, fine. But I don't want you quibbling over my price if I've got to carry, or at least even if they do negotiate with you, you've got to make sure your margin can justify that kind of a hold.
Exactly. Jim, it's a paradox to say some of the people that I've worked for, and I'm not working on a markup, I'm just working on usually an hourly rate, but it's a big company, I just mark that up and they don't seem to care.
Yeah.
You talk a couple hundred dollars an hour, they say, okay, when can you start?
Yep. It's called grief factor.
But you wait. You wait to be paid.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
And they won't do it any other way. The other phenomena that we've seen all the time, Jim, is people start a small business. They go off on their own. They leave a big company and start their own consulting firm. In the beginning, people give money in advance and treat them really like royalty. But then the minute the perception of the client is that you're growing and you're a big deal now,
right?
Then they don't bother to pay you.
Yeah, yeah. And you can handle it. They can float you a little bit. Another thing that you can do is look at asset-based lending, and that's something that you and I can talk about in the future a little bit more detail. But a lot of people they don't have the collateral assigned or attributed the right way against their debt, do they? Their relationship between their debt and their equity is all screwed up.
Right.
And you can use asset-based lending to help you with that.
Yeah, good idea.
Also, you might have some assets that you paid for that you should have really financed for 3 to 5 years.
Well, yeah, that's part of the planning that we like to do for people. I mean, most people talk about leasing automobiles. Well, that's kind of where you start. I own my cars, but my business has been around for a while.
Right.
But, and of course, the thing that I yell at clients all the time, if I'm going to go out and lease a car, and they go lease a $70,000 vehicle, that's ridiculous, too.
Yeah.
We can get into that in another program.
Exactly. And, Alan, thank you for the email. And, Doug, I appreciate you helping me with Alan. I'm sure that a lot of folks got a lot of good information out of that. And, Alan, you're my hero. Doug, we got to wrap things up, and really going to need to kind of cut it short here. So I just wanted to thank you again for being with us. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your insight and what you the value that you bring to my show and to the audience. And I'm already looking forward to having you back on again.
Well, we'll hope we didn't put anybody to sleep.
I don't think we did. Not you and I. Surely not.
Hey, I'm ahead.
Doug, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time again, and have a great weekend.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, folks, it's 58 after the hour. Got to wrap things up. Before I go, I want to thank the most important members of the Small Business Advocate Program, my heroes, small business owners. Because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.